Good to see each one here this morning. We are grateful for your presence. We have visitors with us this morning. We want you to know that we are honored by your presence. We hope that you'll come back at every opportunity that you have. This morning, we are going to begin a series of lessons, a group of lessons, however you want to describe it, over the next few weeks, examining principles of service. You know, when we talk about the responsibilities that we have as members of the body of Christ, at the forefront of those responsibilities is service. And it comes in many different forms. It has many different varieties of the ways in which we serve God. But for the next four Sunday mornings in this month, I want us to consider some principles of service. And we're going to begin this morning by examining the underlying principle to everything that we do when it comes to our service to God. And that is the idea that our service is not about me. I don't know, maybe you've seen somebody at various times who every time they do something good for somebody else or something nice for somebody else or every time they do what they're expected to do, they want to make sure everybody knows it. They want to be sure that they get the recognition and that they get the high five or whatever it is because they've just done something. And yet when it comes to our service to God is not about me. What are we talking about when we talk about service? What is the definition of service? When you go to Webster's Dictionary, and depending on which edition you go to, you'll get varying statements in this regard. But when you go to the dictionary and look up the word service, you'll find a response something like this. In a general sense, labor of body or of body and mind, performed at the command of a superior, or the pursuance of duty, or for the benefit of another. In other words, when we're talking about service, we are talking about the work that we do on the behalf of somebody else, performed at the command of a superior, or in the pursuance of duty, or for the benefit of another. When we're talking about our service to God, we're talking about the things that we do on His behalf, the things that we do at His command, the directions and the instructions that we take in our lives from Him to put into practice on a daily basis. That's what we're talking about when we talk about service. But you know, as you examine the things that God says in His Word about service, there are a lot of different aspects and a lot of different principles that are required for us to be the servants that He wants us to be. At the forefront of that is the fact that it's not about me. You think back to the passage that Daniel read for us just a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 6. And there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about not just what we do, but why we do it. He says, beginning in verse 1, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them." Why are you doing the good things that you do? Why are you doing the things to help others that you do? Is it so that everybody will know how good you are? Is it so that everybody will pat you on the back and give you awards and tell you what a great person you are? Or is there something far deeper and far more important behind the actions that are undertaken? Jesus will even talk about in this passage, He says, when you do a charitable deed, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. You know, some of the greatest things that people do to serve others are things that nobody else ever finds out about. They don't toot their own horn. They don't tell everybody else what was done. Many times the person who has that good deed done for them may not even know who it was that did it. I'll give you a prime example. Most everybody knows my wife was out of town all week last week, going down to help take care of her mom, who has been rather ill. Day or two before she left, cards showed up in our mailbox. It didn't have any return address. It didn't have any signature to it. I don't know who it was. I'm sure it's somebody that's sitting in here today. But it had a $25 gas card in it. And it just said, "We want you to be safe. And I hope you have a good trip." Our service isn't about the notoriety of what we do. It is about the deed that is done in the service of our Lord. When we talk about serving, our service must be without selfishness. Our service must be selfless, not selfish. And so if we are going to be the servants that God wants us to be, if we are going to serve Him and serve one another without selfishness, it is going to require certain things from us. I want us to examine four things that it's going to require from us to serve without selfishness. And then notice three different attributes that selfless servants will have. Four things, first of all, for serving without selfishness. First of all, serving without selfishness requires that I put on Christ. You know, you think back to the passage that Paul gives us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, where there he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, we often talk about it from the standpoint of becoming a Christian, being in Christ. But what does it mean to put on Christ? Yes, it means we have the redemption of His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, it means that we are a part of the body that He created by the shedding of His blood in the church. But it means more than that. When we're talking about the idea of putting on Christ, we're talking about putting on the attributes and the characteristics of who He is in our lives and living them before others. When you consider the principle of putting on Christ, you know, Paul would talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse number 17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We talk about putting to death the old man, and when one is baptized into Christ, bringing in the new man. Why? Because he's put on Christ, or she has put on Christ. And as such, life has changed. When we are ones who serve without selfishness, we have to be ones who have put on Christ. And if we are going to put on Christ, it requires something else. Jesus would talk about that in Matthew chapter 16. When He says, "And if anyone desires," verse 24, "to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but at various times I have seen it. You have the individual. I remember one occasion in Memphis, Tennessee. We were traveling through the city at one point, and all of a sudden down the sidewalk was a man carrying a cross on his back. But what made it somewhat comical was the fact that he had attached a wheel to the bottom of the cross to make it easier to carry. Some people have taken the statement of Jesus literally, but I want you to understand what it is that Jesus is talking about when he makes this statement, and we'll see it utilized in other places throughout Jesus' teaching as well. He says, if any man wants to come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The word take up there that Jesus uses isn't a word in the original language that means to pick it up and carry it on your back. It literally means to raise it up, to erect it. Do you understand the fact that Jesus, when he is making this statement, has not yet died on the cross? When he is speaking to his disciples, there is no view of the cross that is a view of hope, or of promise, or of glory. When Jesus makes this statement to his disciples, the only thing that the cross signified was a torturous death. That's all it meant. When Jesus says, if any man wants to come after me, he has to deny himself. He has to be willing to set himself aside, to as it were, put himself on the cross, to put himself to death and follow me. He then goes on to say in verse 25 that if any man will save his own life, in other words, if I want to follow Christ and I want to keep living the way I want to live, I want to keep doing what I want to do the way I want to do it, he says, any man who will save his life shall lose it. But he who will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Isn't that the very same principle of what the Apostle Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 2? When he says in verse number 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, has Paul literally been raised up on a cross? No. But what has? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What is the point that the Apostle Paul is making? He is making the very same point that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And that is, when I became a Christian, when I became obedient to Christ, when I became His servant, I died. I died to my own wishes. I died to my own desires. I died to my own goals. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me, it's Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If I am going to serve, it's not about me. Because I'm dead. It's not about my selfish desires. It's not about my glory, my honor, my prestige, my ranking. Because it's not me that matters. It's Him. If I am going to serve without selfishness, I have to put on Christ. But if I'm going to put on Christ, I have to die to myself and serve Him. If I am going to serve without selfishness, I have to learn how to develop the servant mentality. I am not my own boss. I am not the one who is in control of my life. I serve someone else. You turn back to Philippians chapter 2, and we've referenced this passage a number of times in the last few weeks, but it is such an important part of the understanding of who we are as Christians. He talks about the fact, beginning in verse number 2, he says, fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't serve with selfish ambition or conceit, but rather with the lowliness of mind to esteem others as better than you, as greater than you. Look not at your own interests only, but also on the interests of others. Well, who else did something like that? The one who bought you with his blood. You know, when Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins, he did not come for his own glory. He didn't come so that everybody would look at him, as it were, saying, "Hey, look at me, look at how great I am." Though certainly that is an appropriate response. Why did he come? He came because without him, you and I could not be saved. He came not out of his own selfish ambition, but because of our needs. Because of what it was that we required if we were going to be able to be with him. And we have to have the same heart. We have to have the same attitude. We have to learn to serve without selfishness. You know, it was our own Lord who said in John chapter 12 and in verse 26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." But you turn forward just a page in your Bibles to John chapter 13, and there he will, on the night of his betrayal, in that upper room, wash his disciples' feet. Why? He is emphasizing to them the importance of service. As we brought out a few weeks ago when we studied this particular passage, do you remember the fact that not only did he wash the apostles' feet, he washed Judas Iscariot's feet as well, knowing what he was about to do. So question, how do I serve like Jesus? I serve without partiality. I serve not so that people will know how great I am, but so people will understand how great he is. Not so people will see what wondrous things I have done with my life, but so that people can see the impact that Christ has had in my life. Not out of selfish ambition, tooting my own horn, but rather with humility and with honor and glory to God. We're going to serve without selfishness. We must develop a Christ-centered life. You know, one of the areas where we struggle the most as people is it is easy to get caught up in what we want to do, what we like, what makes us feel good, what makes us happy. What is going to be of the greatest financial assistance to us in our lives? But if I am the servant of Christ, it's not about me. Jesus would state in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. If I have to choose between what I want and what Christ wants, my choice has to be Christ. If I am his servant. If I am serving him. If I am serving myself, I can choose whatever I want. But I can't claim to be serving him. And I will not be his servant. I have got to understand the responsibility that I have as a child of God to be a servant. But isn't it interesting? And Jesus' statement in Luke chapter 17 is absolutely fascinating to me. He talks about in beginning in verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you'll eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say we are unprofitable servants, for we have done what it was our duty to do. You know, we live in a world that basks in its own accomplishments. We live in a world that expects recognition for even the most menial tasks that it completes. And yet, as a Christian, Jesus says we need to understand that when we have done our job, when we have served as we should, loyally and faithfully, we have done nothing more than what it was our duty to do. What is expected of us to do. Now, does that mean that God does not appreciate our efforts? Does that mean that our efforts will not be rewarded? No, that's not what he's talking about at all. But what he's talking about is our attitude toward the things that we do. We live and we work in the service of Christ because he died to save us from sin. And living in his service is our sacred duty. Now quickly, because our time is almost up. If we are going to be selfless servants, if we are going to be the kind of servants that God wants us to be, what must we do? Three things very quickly. First of all, if I am going to be a selfless servant, I have got to be willing to get rid of the wrong attitudes. I have got to be willing to get rid of the attitudes that are going to stand between me and the willingness to do what God wants me to do. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42 beginning, there Jesus says, as the disciples are brought to him, he says, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Remember, this is on an occasion where the disciples are fighting over who's going to be the greatest and who's going to have authority and which one's going to have a higher ranking. It shall not be so among you, Jesus says, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If we are going to be selfless servants, we have got to get rid of the attitude that says, I'm better than anybody else. Because I'm not. But rather, we have to take on the attitude that says, I am the servant of all, as I seek to serve Christ. In the second place, if I am going to be a selfless servant, I have to get rid of the world's ideas when it comes to greatness and importance. Jesus would talk about in Matthew chapter 18 that we have to be those who become like little children, those who humble ourselves before Him. Folks, the one who is the greatest is not the one with the most physical power, is not the one who's the biggest, is not the one who's the strongest, is not the one with the most money, is not the one with the most recognition. It is the one who is like a little child and recognizes the glory and the privilege that it is to serve Christ. Not for personal gain or personal glory, but for Him. With humility, honor, reverence, and integrity. And in the third place, if we're going to be selfless servants, we have to recognize the value of service. You know, a lot of times it's very easy for us to go about our lives and look at what everybody else is not doing. Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't help with this, and you didn't take care of this. Meanwhile, most of the time, the only thing that we have been doing is pointing out what everybody else hasn't been doing. Instead, we have to look to ourselves. What am I doing? What value, what service, what work am I undertaking? You go back to that idea of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 that we read a little while ago, that we are not through selfish ambition or conceit to do anything, but in lowliness of mind to esteem others better than self. To not just look out for our own interests, but for the interests of others. Are we ones who are living our lives recognizing the value of serving God by serving one another each and every day? Or are we only living our lives looking for what others can do for us? What others can give to us? What others can do that'll help make things easier for us. If we live by those principles, we're not living the life of a selfless servant. Paul would make the statement that as we live our lives in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, giving thanks always, verse 20, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. If we're going to be selfless servants, we must recognize the importance and the value of service. Because you see, when it all comes down to it, our service to God is not about us. It's about Him. It's about whether or not He is important enough in my life to guide my steps, to command my actions, and to receive the glory of my life. Is He that important to you? Is He worth that to you? Are you willing to live from this day forward as His humble servant? Maybe you're one here this morning who's never been obedient to the gospel of Christ. And you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to turn away from the sins that stand between you and Him and to confess His name before men and to be immersed in water, to put on Christ, to have your sins washed away this morning, why not do it now? We would be more than happy to help you. Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've not yet crucified self. You've been living a life that has been focused on your own personal ambitions, your own personal glory. And you need to make changes that put Him first. If we can assist you in any way, if we can encourage you or pray for you in any way, would you come as we stand and as we sing?